Thank you for listening to the Christian Life Podcast. My name is Scott Ingram, your host, and this is episode number 9, How to Study the Bible. When we talk about the Bible, for Christians around the world, everyone knows what we are talking about. It is the Word of God. It is our guidebook for life and faith. It is God's revelation of Himself. As the Scripture says, of itself, all Scripture is breathed out by God, and it is profitable for how we live our life, for correction, for reproof, and for training in righteousness, as we talked about in the last episode. And so we hold to the Bible as the standard. Yet for most Christians around the world, getting into the Bible every day is kind of a struggle. We really do struggle with Bible study. We hear about it often. I mean, I remember every time I went to church as a little kid, every time I visited with friends. Later when I got saved at 16 and I started attending church regularly, we were told all the time that Bible study should be a part of our daily life. We should be reading it and studying it daily. And I also remember being told, don't just read the Bible, study it, apply it, make sure you know what it's saying. And so for all of us, we know that we need to go beyond just reading a passage. We need to go beyond just reading those little devotionals that have about 3 or 4 paragraphs explaining a verse. Yet, for too many of us, Bible study really seems like a lot of work. And in the busyness of our life, it's something very difficult to make a habit daily. Not to mention that, you know, you've got to have all these resources to get it done. I mean, I looked at my pastor's libraries growing up and seeing wall-to-wall books and going, that's what it takes to study the Bible. That's what it takes to understand. How can anyone make this a daily practice? Well, what I want to share with you today is a very simple method of personal Bible study. And it can be applied to your reading every day. If you have 10 minutes, if you have 2 hours, you can use this approach to gain a grasp of the Scripture and help to apply it to your life and to your understanding. You're not going to need a massive amount of library books or commentaries, just a place to sit down, a place to read, and a place to pray. And so I'm going to give you a tool today that's going to make the Bible accessible to you. Now, I am a pastor, and I do have a big library. And more than physical books, I have a massive library from Logos Bible software that I love. I would recommend them to everybody, even the most basic Christian. I'll say, and I don't get paid for this, this is not a paid promotion, but if you go to logos.com, L-O-G-O-S.com, you can get a free version of Logos that has some very basic Bible dictionaries and study notes and a few basic commentaries to get you started. If you have no Bible study tools at all, that is a good place to get some for free, and they'll get you started. And then you can build a digital library ranging up into the thousands of dollars if you want to go that far. But what I want to show you today is a more simple method that can be applied to your daily Bible study so that you do go beyond just reading the Scripture, just getting a basic surface level, but actually going a little bit deeper to applying it to your life. Before we can jump into the Bible study method itself that I want to give you today, I just want to help you understand a little bit about Bible study in general. So I have in front of me a book. It's probably the gold standard of Bible study training. It's by Howard Hendricks and William Hendricks. It's called Living by the Book, The Art and Science of Reading the Bible. I will put that in the show notes if you're interested. This book is used all across the U.S. and around the world for training young pastors, young theologians in the Bible study method. It's very approachable. It's very readable. But I want to recommend that to you because he lays out the three most basic points of Bible study method. Now, this isn't the method I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you very practically how to apply this, but I want you to understand the different aspects of Bible study, and I think he does it well. Step one is observation. Now, observation is just where you take a first reading of the scripture. It's the surface level. You're not doing anything except getting the scripture into your mind and maybe making a few little notes. According to Hendricks, you're going to read the scripture thoughtfully. You might read it repeatedly, patiently, selectively, prayerfully, imaginatively, meditatively, purposefully. So you're basically just taking the Bible and reading it so that you get a basic understanding of what's going on. You're not going any deeper than the observation level. Now, I'll be honest, when I was in Bible college and we were going through this, this was very frustrating because most Christians want to take the observation level and automatically jump to the second level, which is interpretation, but we're not there yet. All we are doing is observing the scripture. And so he says you need to look for six things. You need to look for things that the scripture itself emphasizes. You need to look for things that are repeated. You need to look for things that are related as you read the passage to something that comes in a little bit later verse, relate back to something you've read in an earlier verse or maybe a different point in scripture. You need to look for things that are alike. You need to look for things that are not alike. And you need to look for things that just show that the passage is true to life. And so we call this observation. Now, again, this is not getting into application at all. This is not even getting into really understanding the deeper levels of the text. All you're doing is saying, what does the story say at a most basic level? At this point, maybe you're underlining some repeated words. Maybe you're highlighting a couple of things that stick out to you, but you're not digging those out. Okay, then step two is interpretation. Now, interpretation is where you go a little bit deeper and you start trying to understand what this scripture means. Not what it says. Observation is what does it say. Number two is what does it mean? And this is where you really start looking at the context of the passage. You start looking at who wrote it. Who was he writing it to? This becomes very important. So if you take passages like the prodigal son story, everybody loves the prodigal son story. But when you look at it in context, Jesus is speaking to a group of tax collectors and Pharisees. So he's teaching to righteous people and unrighteous sinners. And so everybody looks at the prodigal son thinking, oh, this is just a story written to the sinners that God's going to welcome you back with open arms. But what a lot of people miss is the father's love in pleading with the older brother to also open his arms to the sinner. Jesus is teaching to the Pharisees. And so you've got to understand the context of who is writing, who are they writing it to, what's the culture surrounding that writing. You need to look at the content. You need to compare it with other scriptures. You need to make sure you understand something about the culture. And so the interpretation level is where things get a little bit more difficult. This is the level where pastors apply that massive library that they have. This is where pastors really want to study. They do word studies. They dig into the Hebrew and the Greek. And if you have the ability to do that, that's great, especially when I'm writing my blogs every week or when I'm preparing a sermon. I am using my Logos library and my other books to really dig out some of these things. What is the author saying? What do they mean? Well, who are they writing to? What is the context? But if you can't do that with deeper books, there are still ways to do it at a more surface level. You can make the notes of who's writing this. At the introduction to every New Testament book, it says, you know, this is Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, or this is John, or this is, you know, they introduce themselves. This is Luke writing to the great Theophilus. And so you can see who's writing, who are they writing to. It just takes a little bit of work to be diligent. And if you're studying straight through books of the Bible, which I would also recommend, then you're going to make these notes at the beginning. So day one, you might do a little more heavy study, where day 10, you've started to get some of the recurring themes. You've started to get some of the outlines and who's writing and those things. And so step two is interpretation. And it can take a lot of work, but even if you don't have the time and resources to put into the heavy lifting, you should be doing this at a basic level, because interpretation is the level where you need to make sure that what you are taking away from the scripture is not completely out of context. It's not, you know, in Christianity, we have a lot of what I call coffee cup verses or t-shirt verses, verses we enjoy putting on, you know, coffee mugs and those things because they make us feel good, but the way we apply them in our lives don't actually come from the interpretation of Scripture. So, for instance, a lot of people want to talk about, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And while that's a great verse, when we read it in context, what Paul is saying is, I have learned to live in abundance. I've learned to live with nothing. I've learned to live with persecution. I've learned to live with freedom. I've learned to live in Hebrew culture, in Greek culture, in pagan cultures. He's saying, I've learned to be content in every way, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so for us Christians that we're talking about, oh, I have the ability to overcome, you know, these Facebook arguments, or I have the ability to do the work that God's called me to do in my business to make it sustainable and make a lot of money and, you know, all these things, that's not really what the verse is saying. Paul, if you read it in the context and do proper interpretation, you'll see that Paul is talking to a group of Christians who are concerned with him because he's getting beat up and he's poor and he's in jail and all of these things. He's saying, listen, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. God has called me to this, and so God's going to get me through it. But you don't get that without the interpretation element. And then step three of standard Bible study is the application. Now, application, I feel like, is where too many Christians, especially too many pastors, cut their Bible study efforts short. And so in the application phase, too many pastors want to preach the scripture, they want to exegete the scripture well and tell you who wrote it and what the major themes are and who they were writing it to and really expound on it. But then when it comes to how does this apply to our lives as the ones studying scripture, or if you're a pastor, how does this apply to your congregation's life? Too many people back away, because this is where it gets uncomfortable. This is where, as the Bible says, it's the sword of the Spirit, and it cuts. It's a two-edged sword, and it cuts, separating bone and flesh, bone and marrow. It cuts deeply, because it should be shaping us into the image of Christ, right? And so for too many people, application is where it gets uncomfortable, and so that's where we cut short. I know a lot of Christians who are personal friends, who are people I look up to and respect in their life, but their Christianity, when they tell me about their Bible study, it's, yeah, I wake up every morning and I read a passage of Scripture, and, you know, then I try to just hold on to a verse every day that means something to me, but there's not real life change. They're not truly being discipled by the Scriptures, and so we have to get the application right, and so this is where we start asking questions. Once we understand the scripture, what does this say about the culture, the audience he was writing to? What does the context say? Then we can start saying, okay, how does this apply to me? How does this match my life? What is the Holy Spirit speaking through this? And so the most basic level of Bible study methods is observation, interpretation, and application. Now, what I'm going to give you today is going to walk us through those steps, but I'm going to give you a little bit different reading that's going to explain more basic what we're trying to do. And so we're going to follow that method, but it's going to be a little bit different. So the method of Bible study I'm going to give you today first comes with a disclaimer. This is not a method that I developed. Okay, I honestly don't know where this method came from. It's one that I was taught a few years ago, back when I was on staff at a church in Texas. And I know the church leader who brought this method to our church and began teaching it also learned it from somewhere else. It may have roots in the Acts 29 church planting network. It may have roots in some of the other church planting networks that are more localized in Texas. I'm really not sure where this came from. And so if you take credit for the foundation of this Bible study and you say, this guy's ripping me off, it's not intentional, okay? I don't know where it came from. If you call me and you say, listen, I came up with this Bible study method, here's the book or here's the article or here's whatever, I will will gladly put it in the show notes. But for my listeners, I am giving you something that did not originate with me, but it is something that I've come to value greatly. It is something that I teach our pastors and our leaders here in East Africa and Uganda and Kenya. Every time we do a discipleship training, I teach pastors how to teach this method to their church members. And when I teach pastors how to preach, I teach them this method for their own personal Bible study because it's very simple to remember. It's very easy to follow. It's not a big, you know, it's four words. And so it's not a big method that it's you know, very heavy, very hard to do. Okay. Anybody can do this. All it takes is a Bible, a place to sit, and a place to pray. And so this method is called the REAP method, R-E-A-P. Each one of these letters in the word REAP is one word in the method. Okay. So four words, you get the whole method to study the Bible. Now I'm going to give you all four words, and then we're going to look at it, at each one very practically and see what it means, okay? So R stands for read, E stands for examine, A stands for apply, and P stands for pray. So REAP method of Bible study, read, examine, apply, pray. So let's look at these one by one. The first obvious step when we talk about Bible study is to read the Bible, right? We're not applying this to, you know, reading a good book or reading a pastor's handbook or reading a commentary. It's none of those things. You've got to read the Bible. And so for some of you, if you don't have a practice of Bible study and you're not familiar with the Bible, step one's going to be the biggest challenge. What you need to do is figure out which passage of Scripture to read. Now, I'm a big proponent, as I said, of reading, studying through an entire book of the Bible. So maybe for your first time, you want to pick a smaller book. The Apostle Paul writes some great shorter letters. Ephesians is probably my favorite. I also love Philippians. I love Colossians. Those are 4 to 6 chapters each. Great place to start if you want to, you know, do a whole book in maybe a week or 2 weeks, depending on how deeply you go. If you really want to get into Bible study, you could look at some of the great passages in the Old Testament. You know, Genesis is a great place to start, obviously. It's the first book of the Bible. Exodus has so many parallels to the New Testament. If you're new to Bible study, here's my one caution, and I'm not going to tell you absolutely not, but I would caution you about jumping into Leviticus, and I would caution you about jumping into Revelation. Leviticus is very heavy on God's law, and while there is so much beauty there, there is so much to take away, there is so much good stuff in Leviticus, for someone new to the Scripture, it's a very difficult place to jump in, especially because you're dealing with the law of God, but you haven't yet really learned the character of God. So if you're going to do Leviticus, I would suggest you start in Genesis and go through Exodus and go through them in order, okay? For many new believers applying this method, going through Genesis, it's 50 chapters. That's going to take you, you know, a few months to get through if you're really doing Bible study. Now, you could obviously sit and read Genesis in a day or two. I have, but to really study it out, you've got to spend more time. So the first thing you have to do is figure out which passage you're going to read. Now, this is up to you, but you need the Holy Spirit's guidance because He's going to shift your focus to where it needs to be every day. And so the first thing I would do is just ask the Holy Spirit, where am I supposed to read? What do I need to study today? You know, sometimes I may be going through a book of the Bible. I may be spending time studying Philippians or Colossians. And then one day the Holy Spirit attracts my attention to a psalm for the day and He pulls me out for a day. But what He's showing me is actually applicable to what I'm reading elsewhere and studying to apply to my life. And so if you're still not sure where to begin, I'll just say this. You can't go wrong by beginning in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you're really wanting to jump into the New Testament, you could go through Luke and then follow that with the book of Acts because those two are written by the same person. But you can't go wrong with the Gospels. There are also literally 1,000 reading plans, more than 1,000. There are thousands of reading plans available on the internet. Okay, even in your Bible, if you have more than just a basic Bible, your Bible may have a Bible reading plan in the back that's going to take you through the Gospels, or it's going to take you through the Bible in a year, or all of those things. Don't hesitate to find a reading plan that makes sense to you, because it gives you some accountability. But what I would caution you on a reading plan is don't fall into the trap of shame if you miss a day or two. I gave up doing the Bible through a year reading plans years ago, and if I do attempt one, I refuse to start January 1st, because I'm not going to measure my success as a Christian by whether or not I did the whole Bible January to December. And so I will start it in February. I'll start it any other. You could start a through the year Bible reading plan right now today. I'm recording this July 31st. You could start it today. And so next year, when you're finishing it on July 30th, if you miss it and you finish on August 2nd or August 5th, like, you're not going to remember, what day did I start this on? But it's going to hold you accountable. Just don't fall into the trap of shame and condemnation if you miss a day or two, especially if you're, you know, if you're in a heavy season of life. Some days it's going to be difficult, but the goal is to daily be in the Bible. So pray and ask the Holy Spirit, where should I read? Come up with a plan, and then figure out where you're going to sit down and read. For many people, this is the biggest challenge, right? Reading is the biggest challenge, because if you have kids, or you wake up early and have to catch a train to commute to work, or whatever it is, sometimes just having 10 or 20 minutes to read and do this becomes the problem. So make time, figure out what you're going to read, figure out where you're going to read it, and start being consistent. Now, again, just like the observation phase, reading is the most simple. And yet, for so many of us, just reading is not the most simple, right? And so, step one, read. Step two in our Bible study method is examine. It's the E. Now, if we're being honest, anyone can read a passage of Scripture. Okay, everyone can do it. It's not that difficult. My 10-year-old daughter has been reading the Bible for years because she has learned to read very early. Me and her use the Bible app called Read Scripture and go through the Bible together from time to time. It has some great tools in there. I'll throw that in the show notes. That's a bonus. That's not my intention here. But anyone can read. Only those who are really committed to grow take it further into Bible study. Okay, there's Bible reading, basic level, and then there's Bible study. And so examine is where we start to get into the Bible study. Once you've read the passage of Scripture, this is where the work begins. You've got to now seek to understand what the Scripture is trying to teach you. Now, obviously, as we talked about in the beginning, the world is full of resources that can help you go deeper and deeper into your understanding of the passage. However, if you're new to Bible study, it's not necessary. Okay, the beauty of the Bible is that it was written by God for men to read and understand. God's not hiding things from you. God wants you to pick up the Bible, read it, and understand it. And so don't overcomplicate it. It's a straightforward reading in what the Bible says. Still, God did not expect us with the lingering presence of a sin nature drawing us back to false truths to navigate the Bible alone. He did give us the Holy Spirit, who the Bible says in John 14:26, will teach you all things. And so as you start to examine what does this passage mean, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your mind to understand and to reveal any hidden wisdom that's in the passage. So, I would point you to this. I've already told you about Logos, that they do have free tools. I don't get paid to say that. I'm just a real big fan of Logos Bible study tool. However, if you have an internet connection, you have a smartphone, it is very easy to do a Google search on a passage and look up commentaries. There are so many free commentaries online. So many of the historical commentaries are out there waiting for you to just look at them. You don't have to have physical books. So if you really are reading something and you get stuck, please pull out your phone or open your computer and go online and look up a Bible dictionary. Look up a commentary, a few commentaries, see what they say. But this shouldn't be our first go-to, okay? Even before I go to Logos, even before I open my tools, I'm going to sit down and in the examination process, I'm going to ask a ton of questions about the passage to see what it's telling me. And so this is part of the examination. Now, I'm going to give you a list of questions. These questions really formed in my mind, and I've added to them, but they formed in my mind when I was reading a book called Contagious Disciple Making. I still love that book. I use it to train our pastors, and so I'll put it in the show notes as well if you're interested in that book. It's a very amazing book on discipleship and even church planting if you like the house church model, or even if you're just one-on-one, you're a Christian trying to do evangelism in your workplace or in your community. It's a very great tool. But anyway, I got a lot of these questions from their discovery group model, but I've added to them. So as you read the passage, whatever your passage is, you need to start asking questions like, what does this passage teach me about God? What does it teach me about God's character, God's nature, the different aspects of his personality? What does it teach me about God being a father, or God being the judge of the universe, or all of these things? What does it teach me about God? Then we need to start asking, what does this passage teach me about mankind? What does it teach me about the human condition in general? And then what does that have to do with me? We need to start asking, what does this passage teach about sin or about salvation? What does this passage teach about Jesus, who is the Savior? What does it teach about him being the Son of God? What does it teach about the Holy Spirit? So we're getting the full Godhead, the full Trinity in there. What does it teach about God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? What does it teach about mankind, sin, and salvation? So our before and after in Christ. And then what does this passage teach about the new life in Christ and how we should be moving forward? In the beginning, you may only ask the first two questions about each passage. What does it say about God? What does it say about mankind? But that's still going to grow your knowledge in the truth. But as you grow in Bible study, always take your examination deeper with these questions and add more probing questions, okay? Even when I was very early on in ministry, becoming a youth pastor, my goal with my youth, who didn't have a lot of patience and didn't have a lot of time for reading the Bible, what I wanted them doing was asking questions. And so when you come to God and you're in the secret place and you've got your Bible open, ask questions. Don't just read the scripture and assume your mind's going to pick up all the nuance. Ask questions and then find the answer. Write it down. In the next episode, I'm going to talk about keeping a Bible journal, a Bible reading journal that's going to help you in your Bible study time. So you need to be writing down these observations that when you see, okay, I'm reading this passage and it says this about God and this about me and this about how God is fixing me, whatever it is, you need to be taking note of those things. That's the examination. Now, this, again, goes back to the interpretation method. This is where if you have other resources, you can use them to answer these questions. So for me, I do ask the questions first, and when I can't find the answer, obviously, in the passage, then I will use other resources. But so, number one, read the scripture. Number two, examine the scripture. The third point in our Bible study method, in the REAP method, is apply. It's the A. Once you've spent time understanding the text, it's time to apply what you've learned in your own life, for your own life. Now, remember, Bible study is not just to gain practical knowledge, and this is something I say all the time. For a lot of churches, for a lot of people, when we think discipleship, we think this is growing in our head knowledge. Going back to the last episode, theology is not just knowing about God, but it's living according to what we know about God. And so Bible study is not just to get head knowledge. It's got to be connected to your life, to how you grow into the image of Christ. The simplest way to apply what you've learned is to ask yourself this question. Based on what I have read, what do I need to do, or what do I need to change in my own life? If everything I just read in this passage is true, and what it says about God is true, and what it says about mankind is true, what it says about sin is true, what it says about Jesus is true, what it says about new life in Christ is true, if what the Bible says is true, then how does my life not fit that truth? And so what do I need to do to realign myself? This is the act of repentance. The word repentance, it's the Greek word metanoia. It literally means change the way you think so that your actions follow. Repentance is not complete unless you have a new way of thinking and a new way of acting. Now again, don't forget to include the Holy Spirit's guidance in answering this. He knows you better than you know yourself. He wants to remake you in Christ's image more than you do yourself. And so after you've finished wrestling with the questions about what does it mean, ask the Holy Spirit to show you how do you apply it. How does it reveal something in your heart or in your life that you need to act on? Once you've got the answer, then you've taken the first step in application. You must now commit to doing whatever the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures are leading you to do. This is how God transforms you, okay? So if first thing in the morning you wake up and you read something and it convicts you and it shows that you're doing something in your life that's not right, maybe it's the way you talk to your family or the way you treat your coworkers or, I mean, minute little things in your life, but you're saying, man, you know, the Holy Spirit really showed me, according to this Scripture, my life doesn't match, then you have to walk out and apply it. This is why Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You have to work outwardly what the Holy Spirit is teaching you internally. And so this is where the Scripture, the Bible study becomes practical. So we read, we examine to make sure we understand what's going on. This is the context. This is who's speaking, all of those things. And then what is it teaching me? And then working on the application on how do I apply it. Finally, step four is to pray. It's the P in the REAP method. Read, examine, apply, pray. And so the final part of the process is to go back to God in prayer. Now, even though I've been telling you need the Holy Spirit's help at every step, you know, I told you, you need to ask the Holy Spirit, what should I be reading? You need to be asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten you on the meaning. You need to be asking the Holy Spirit to help you apply it to your life. Now is when you come back to God in prayer and you put everything you've done together. This is where you're making the commitment back to Him that you're going to live it out. And so when you come to the prayer time, you need to begin by thanking God for what He's taught you. Begin with praise. Begin with worship for the things you learned about God. If you learned that His name is Jehovah Jireh, He's your provider, then praise Him that He is your provider and that you can trust Him. You can thank Him for what you've learned, and you can make it very practical in how you worship Him. Walk through the basic process of repentance if there's an area where you need to. If the Scripture brought something to mind that you're not living according to God's plan, this is your chance to sit before Him and confess and ask for the grace and strength necessary to make changes in your life. You have to trust the Holy Spirit to help you as you begin to walk out what you've learned. Finally, you want to ask Him to reveal to you someone in your life who needs to hear what you've just learned, okay? Now, this is taking it a step farther, but the Bible is not intended just for us. And I'm sorry, you have a personal relationship with Jesus, but you do not have a private relationship with Jesus. Jesus wants us in the community. And so the final step is to ask Him, who do I know that needs to hear what I've learned? And you then, as you leave the Bible study setting and you go back into the world, seek an opportunity to share with someone what you have learned from the Lord. And so that's it. If you read, examine, apply, and pray, you've just successfully completed a real, authentic, personal Bible study. It's honestly not that bad, right? Now, the challenge is to make this a part of your daily walk with the Lord. And I promise you, there's new levels of glory awaiting. The Bible says, as we behold Him, we're transformed from one degree of glory to the next. That's the goal. So that's the REAP method of Bible study, R-E-A-P, read, examine, apply, and pray. Sincerely, it's not that difficult. And if you've never taken time to study the Bible as a Christian, as you're on this journey of the Christian life, I cannot more highly recommend that you start today. Your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life, and the Bible is His revelation to us. It reveals Him. It reveals how He wants us to live. It reveals what's in our heart. It's like looking into a mirror. That's what the scripture says. It's like looking into a mirror so we can truly see ourselves. And so please, if you haven't ever given it a try, give it a try. If you're one of these people who you read the Bible regularly, but you read a whole chapter or two chapters or three chapters a day, and you just go through the Bible in major chunks, slow down. Sometimes the Bible study, the REAP method, applies to one verse. There are sometimes in my life where I have been attached to one or two verses for days, even weeks on end, where God is speaking so much out of one verse that I need to dig out, I need to examine deeper, I need to understand more, I need to apply more. And God uses it for our sanctification. And so please, if you're a Christian, do not neglect the Word of God, but let's learn to go deeper in it. Let's learn to apply it. Let's learn to live according to the Word of God. Let it be the foundation that our lives are built on. So let me pray for us. God, right now, I just ask for everyone listening to this podcast that you would put a love for your word in their hearts. Father, would you enlighten their mind according to the scriptures? Would you draw them into the passages that they need to grow from, they need to learn, they need to apply the most? Father, it's your word. It's, as my friend Heather used to say, it is your love letter written to us by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, would you stir up a love for your word in every person listening right now? Would you lead them through the Bible? Would you show them exactly what passage they need to read today? Would you speak to them as they seek to examine what does it mean? They seek to understand who's writing, why are they writing, what's the goal, what's the theme, what does it teach? Father, would you guide them to learn how those things apply to them and help them to walk it out, help them to repent, help them to grow from glory to glory as they come back and seek you through your word. Father, we thank you for the Bible. Lord, we thank you for all of the men and women throughout every generation who have given their lives to give us the complete Bible, to translate it, to protect it. The martyrs who wanted every person to have a Bible in their own language and in their own hand. Father, we thank you that we live in the day where that's true. We don't even just have to have physical Bibles, but Lord, on our computers, on our phones, your word is available to anybody who wants it. And so God, we praise you for that. But Lord, don't let us neglect it because of familiarity with it. Lord, you want to use your word to grow us, to take us deeper. And so help us as we jump in to learn more from your word each and every day of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Christian Life Podcast. Once again, thank you for listening. I am really enjoying doing these things with you, and hopefully they are blessing you and helping you learn and walk a little bit closer to Christ as you draw near to Him. If you want to connect with me, the best way to do that is on my website, anthonyingram.com. From there, you can read my blog posts, you can get all of the old episodes of the podcast, or find out where it's available to listen from. If you're interested in inviting me to speak at a conference or an event, or for one-on-one counseling or deliverance ministry, you can request those times there. You can also find the link that if you want to join us on the mission field for a trip, everything is up to date on there right now. All of the future trips that we're planning for at the end of this year and into next year, it is available. And so I would love to connect with you there at anthonyingram.com. You can also find me on social media. I am on Facebook, Instagram, and Parler under the username at Ingram Writer, all one word, Ingram Writer. Same on Twitter, except put the underscore between them, Ingram underscore Writer. I'd love to connect with you on any social media. Send your comments, questions, thoughts about the podcast. You can leave me a voice memo at anchor.fm/thechristianlife. You can also support the podcast there. I'm enjoying doing this, and I'm not asking for support, but as a missionary, if God leads you to jump on our support team, our partnership team, we would be so grateful for that. So that's going to do it for this episode. Join me in episode 10 in 2 weeks whenever we talk about how to keep a scripture reading journal. I'll see you then.